how I ended up getting punched in the face on my first day as a professional.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello, I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. Welcome to episode 58 of The Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. My goal is always to empower you and your family to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Every day worldwide, 27,000 new families are thrust into the role of caring for someone living with dementia. Families such as yours, who want to do the best for their loved one, but have no training or experience caring for an individual with cognitive challenges. In an attempt to make things better while balancing caregiving with already busy lives, it's easy to actually make the situation worse without even realizing it. Today, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, will discuss how you can turn this around so that your time together with your loved one is more pleasurable. So, Christy, talking about if our care partners are accidentally making things worse, how can that be when they're doing so much and trying so hard and this is their life, basically?
Because, unfortunately, this is one of those situations in life where most people don't have any preparation. And so it's just trying to be dropped into one of the most stressful situations you will ever find yourself in your entire life, and then winging it.
Right.
So you could see, you know, when it's framed that way, you can see why you might accidentally be making things worse, because it's almost impossible that you wouldn't at least once, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that as care partners, a lot of times we rely on our instinct or kind of how we've always done things. So we just kind of show up as who we are, right? You know, just ourselves. And that is how I ended up getting punched in the face on my first day as a professional. So that's just something to be aware of. And I'm not saying if you're just being yourself, you're going to get punched in the face. But, you know, that was me being myself. But also I was very nervous because it was my first day. And nobody had given me a list of do this or don't do that when it comes to dementia. And so I ended up getting punched in the jaw, and that hurt like a son of a biscuit eater. So that's how I made that decision to never let that happen again.
And boy, you've come a long ways, because I imagine you haven't been punched in the face in a long time with the energy you bring and the knowledge you have now.
Yeah, honestly, that made such a powerful impression on me. And the man's name was Kenneth, and I honor him to this day. He was the one who really took one for the team, so to speak, by me being just so green and not knowing what I was doing with him. And he sent back such a powerful message to me that was actually the first and last time I was ever hit. And I made a decision, and that hurt so bad. I was like, oh my gosh, that I made a decision on the spot that I was going to get better quickly and not ever have that happen again.
And when you say it hurt, I imagine it hurt not only physically, but there is that emotional element to it that hurt deeply as well, that really drove you to become a better dementia care practitioner.
For sure, because, you know, there's the, okay, it happened in public, so your ego's sporting a pretty big bruise too, but way more important than that, the physical pain or the ego pain, is the fact that just as a soul, right, as a human, when you're connecting with other humans or attempting to connect with other humans, I should say, when you see that there are people around you who need help, who may even be asking for your help or indicating that they need help, and you genuinely don't know how to do that or what to do for them, there is no worse feeling. And I call it that, oh, expletive moment, where your gut is twisting and you just don't know what to do. Like, how am I going to help? How am I going to fix this? How am I going to make this better? And so that's really been the driving force behind my passion in all of this is I hate that feeling so much. I don't want anybody to ever have to go through that feeling. That said, sometimes we kind of unintentionally end up making it worse. And it's always unintentional. And this goes back to, you know, I yak about this all the time, but our mindset and what kind of energy are we bringing? Because for people living with dementia, picking up on our energy is the quickest, easiest way that they can connect with us. It's just instantaneous. So if we can remember to, you know, take a deep breath, exhale all the ick and the gunk that's cluttering our mind and leave that on the other side of the door. And then when we're getting into that interaction with our person and bring in, you know, the good stuff, the respect, kindness, love, empathy, and compassion, when we show up like that, then we show up as who we really are. And we actually have that opportunity to connect at that very deep level and to offer our assistance, our support, and to have it be accepted.
So that all sounds good and easy, and and then I'm picturing myself, you know, I'm outside the front door, I'm telling I've had a stressful day already, I'm telling myself to come through with good energy, I walk through that door, I've got that energy, and instantly something happens, whether it's some, you know, I don't know what, it could be a thousand different things. And all of a sudden, all that good energy just flies out, and I'm back to a bad energy mode. And I have to, I guess we have to learn to recognize that. And when we do recognize that, get out of the room quickly and reset or something like that, maybe.
Well, I always tell families, you know, there's good news and bad news, and but it's the same news, and that is that you are the one who can change, right? So on the positive side of that, you have the ability, you have the cognitive skills to be able to do that. On the flip side of it is we all love change as long as we're talking about somebody else doing the changing.
Right. Right.
And so there are some kind of simple strategies, and I do try and keep strategies simple. And I think a lot of the concepts I talk about are simple, but simple is not a synonym for easy. And easy comes when we have practice doing things, right? When we get better, we practice enough, we get a lot better at whatever the new skill or mindset or thing is that we want to do. So I think that's really important to point out that simple is not the same as easy, but practice will always make you better. However, it's really hard to remember that, I think, as a new care partner or as the care partner who is just now starting to experience some more challenging situations. And so maybe now the issue is sleep deprivation and kind of being run ragged to keep up with your person. If you already kind of have some chronic aches and pains, if you have some anxiety and some worry about the future and, you know, kind of what that's going to look like pretty soon, like I'm talking about this stuff and now I'm starting to feel anxious, right? Because pretty soon it starts to feel like it's piling up on top of you. And on top of all of that, when you are being the cook and the chauffeur and the maid and the laundry service and the landscaper and the, you know, all of these things that go with running a household that we probably don't think a whole lot about unless you're a parent of a young kid or a parent of teenagers, or you have a person living with dementia that you're also responsible for. And then it can really start feeling like a lot. And so that is often where I meet families when they're kind of at that point. But sometimes they've already crossed a little line and they don't know that. But the line that they've crossed is they're flirting with hopelessness.
Right.
Because, you know, and that's really scary. I don't ever want anybody to get to that point because it's like a black hole. When you have lost all hope that anything can ever be different in your situation, just think about that for a minute. I mean, that is heartbreaking. And so when people are headed that direction, at first, it's really hard for them to be able to hear what I'm saying. So they're cognizant of the fact that they may not know exactly what the problem is, but they know that whatever they're trying to do right now is not working, or it's not getting the results that they want to see. And when you are at that level of overwhelm, a lot of times I'll say, okay, well, you know, this is what you've told me the problem is, you know, and I kind of repeat it back to them, make sure I heard everything and got it. They go, yep, yep, yep. I go, okay, great. Here are, you know, the first three things I recommend doing that's going to alleviate the situation, and then the other one that you were talking about, and then moving forward. And I mean, I don't even get to finish and they're already like, but what if that doesn't work?
Right, right. No hope, no positive.
Exactly.
Feeling. No, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, or you don't know my dad. So you don't, and it's true, I don't know your dad. But I really do know dementia, and you know your dad. So let's take my dementia expertise and your expertise on your dad, and then we're going to merge those together. And it's pretty much going to be like magic. We're going to make progress. Things are actually going to get better. But when a care partner is feeling so stressed out and so anxious, they can't hear that. They can't see any possibility. And like I said, they're flirting dangerously close with losing all hope that anything could ever be different. Now, how this relates to are you accidentally making it worse is when that's your mindset, when you're doing that, just think about this. So you've reached out to me, let's say, okay, so you've reached out to a professional because you know what's happening in your situation is not working. You know you need help. The professional is trying to help you, and you're cutting your professional off, going, nope, no, I don't think that'll work. Nope, no. And you're not even listening to the whole thing. If that's the energy you're bringing with somebody that can help you, what kind of energy might you be bringing with your person without even being consciously aware of it because you are so sleep deprived or so stressed or so anxious, or some combination of all of that? When you start feeling like laughing and having a good time with your friends is just like a really distant memory, you're in a bad place. And, you know, I just want to hug you. And I want to bring all the good stuff to you because you, as a family care partner, you deserve that. You need that in the same way that your person does. But if you're not getting that, if you're not filled with that, you can't give it to your person. So energy is really contagious. And that is one of those things that sometimes we have to remind ourselves about again and again and again, is that it is so contagious that if we are really anxious, our person is going to pick up on that. And so we might be feeling like, okay, well, I'm kind of having a bad day, but it'll be fine to go visit mom or spend time with dad. And so we do. And then we go, gosh, that was not a very good visit. And I don't know why, but, you know, because they're not usually like this. But today it was just like all the bad things. Well, it was that energy that we brought in, right? So that wasn't good. So one of the best things that we can do is just be conscious of it. I may have said this before, but everybody's probably heard, you know, just breathe through it. And it's one of those things where, you know, a lot of times you want to give the person who says that a little thump on the head to help reorient them to reality. But here's the thing that people don't tell you is it takes at least 4 deep breaths with big long exhales to start to change your mindset, to start to get that blood flowing, which is carrying that magical oxygen that's going to help you think more clearly. So one deep breath is probably not going to do a ton for you. We do it 4 times, you know, and like in my memory care at home program, I think every single module we start with, okay, let's do the deep breathing so that you can actually like be in a space to hear the information and to be with me when I'm going through this information with you. And if it takes more than 4 times, that's fine. Hit pause and breathe all you need to until you can be in that headspace where you can think more clearly, you feel better, you can take in information, and then you can share that good stuff not only with yourself, but then with anybody who comes into your orbit. Really important.
What I'm thinking about is it's wonderful that we've got our listeners here, and you know we're getting like 400 or 500 listeners per episode now.
Wow.
And I can't help but think about how there's 27,000 new diagnoses worldwide every day, and the millions of care partners out there who we're never taught about dementia, never, and we're just thrown into this situation. And as you mentioned in the very beginning, one of the most stressful situations you can find yourself in life. And I just hope that our listeners out there can, you know, stay strong and help bring awareness to Alzheimer's and dementia if you have that extra strength in you to do that beyond caring for your loved one. But and I just think it's great that you know you're here learning from us and you've taken those steps to better educate yourself because you know that you can't do it by yourself.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I would just add that a really great way to do that would be if you're finding the show helpful and getting some good stuff out of that, feel free to share it on Facebook, to share it on Twitter, to share it on Pinterest, whatever your favorite social media platform is. That would be fantastic, so that you can then help other people too who may be in your same situation. That would be great. Kind of building on that, what I do want to leave people with hope, because I know sometimes it feels like it's tough to hang on to. So when you as a care partner are turning that good stuff loose on yourself, right? You're breathing in respect, kindness, love, empathy, and compassion for yourself because you deserve all of that. When you're filled with that and you can share it with your person, then you know what you can do? You can start using your superpower. And you have a superpower. And that is you can step into the moment with your person, into any moment. You step into their moment. So if they're upset about something, you come with the good stuff, you step into their moment, you give them a feeling of safety, of security, of love. You are now manipulating their reality for the better. If that isn't a superpower, I don't know what is. And how cool is that, that you get to do that, that you can do that for your person? A lot of times we're talking about all of these issues that come with dementia, right? You know, safety and keeping a person safe, of course, is such a huge thing, and getting help and assistance and all of these things on our to-do list that need to happen, and having a strategy and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Please remember, you do have that superpower. You can use it at will. That is pretty amazing.
And if when you use it, then you're making things better, right? And you're not making things worse. And I love that superpower.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're using your superpower by giving your person that feeling of safety, security, and love in that moment, you're also making life better for yourself, right? Because, again, energy is contagious. So if you come in a good mindset, your person's really anxious, and then you help them to overcome that, you've used your superpower, and now they're, you know, feeling the good stuff from you and getting filled up with it themselves, that's what they're beaming right back to you. So that's the kind of feedback loop we'd all love to be in, and it's totally within your reach. It's just, being aware of sometimes you might accidentally be making things worse, and that is just by virtue of kind of being in your role and just getting into the habit of being aware of when you're getting stressed out, when you're getting anxious, figuring out kind of what is doing that, what's causing that. So if you don't already keep a journal or a log, this would be a good time to start that so you can start looking for cause and effect, right? And then once you start doing that, it becomes so much easier to see patterns. And once we see patterns, then everything starts to look pretty clear. We can start changing them.
And you've been, for this show, we've been talking about that energy and bringing the good stuff. And in your article, Are You Accidentally Making Things Worse? You do talk about how as the disease progresses, intellect recedes and the emotions come to the front. So can you just elaborate on, I know we've talked about that before, but can you elaborate on that just a little bit? Because that really goes to the root of why it's so important to have that positive energy in this situation.
Yeah, so we know with dementia that people are forgetful, that they're losing their memory. And sometimes we as professionals are not great about really explaining what all that entails. And so a more accurate way to think of dementia beyond memory loss is to think of kind of the whole brain being under attack. And when that happens, people are losing their language ability. They start having difficulty with balance, with walking, with feeding themselves. All of these types of things can happen, throughout the process. Specific to language and verbalization and all of that, I had a grandma with vascular dementia that when people would come to the door, she would say, look what the cat drug in. Oh, look who's here. Oh, is that what you're doing with your hair? That was kind of her standard greeting, right? So she was not filled with good stuff. She had a very hard life, but she was not filled with good stuff. And as the dementia progressed, that was, she lost all of that. And amazingly, she was so receptive. She was like a sponge. She was absolutely like a sponge because she didn't have that hard, crunchy outer shell anymore that she'd been hiding behind to protect herself for all those years. She loved having caregivers. Oh my God, she loved it because, first of all, she had great caregivers who were filled with the good stuff and bringing that. But she was just, boom, she knew. She didn't know their names, but they would walk into her apartment and she knew who she liked because of their energy. And you could see the difference on her face, the difference in her expression, in her body language. People that she loved, because they were full of the good stuff, they'd walk in and she just lit up like a Christmas tree. People she didn't like, which was mostly people she was related to, they would walk in and she would stiffen, she'd tense, her face changed. No, She did not like those people. And it's just, you know, we all have that thing where I think it's 11 seconds. It takes us 11 seconds to decide if we like someone or not. So, and I often will say that from stage when I'm speaking at an event, and I'll tell the audience, you know, did you know you already have decided whether I have anything worthwhile to say or not? Because you've already decided if you like me or not. Because you've already decided if what my hair is doing today is okay, if what I chose to wear is okay. All of these things, we make these split second judgments about what somebody looks like. And a lot of it is just kind of supporting evidence, because if we're not cognitively impaired, we're able to pull all that together and make judgments about those things. But it's really supporting evidence about, do we like that energy or not? How do we feel in relation to this other person, this new person in our environment? If they're bringing the good stuff, doesn't matter about their hair. It doesn't matter what kind of shoes they're wearing. It's just, I like how I feel. And so for people living with dementia that are a little bit further along in the process, they don't have to go through all the nonsense of hair, shoes, makeup, earrings, whatever. It's just yes or no. Boom. Hmm. That's it.
That's very interesting. Beyond energy having an effect on if we're making things worse, are there other things that a care partner might be doing to make things worse?
There are unfortunately quite a few things. It always comes back to that energy into our mindset.
Okay.
But, you know, one really quick example is we can turn it into kind of an episode of Jeopardy. Sometimes when we're, so let's say our person lives in a community. And so we go in to visit and say, and I, unfortunately, this goes back to my time as a memory care director when I witnessed this a bazillion times in different iterations. Hi, Mom. Do you know who I am?
Oh, gosh.
I just always thought, like, that is a really weird way to start a visit, right? You know, do you know who I am? Or what did you have for lunch today? Well, did Joe come to visit you today? Well, why are you wearing that sweater? I don't like that sweater. And what it is, you know, and I've seen families come in and just do this like barrage of questions. So a couple of things are going on when that happens that it's good for people to be aware of. One is you're anxious and it's coming out as like this verbal spray of something bad, right? So that's how it's manifesting. It's not helpful. Number two, for our person, it's super not helpful because every time we open our mouth, they're hearing what we're saying and then trying to process what we're saying. They need extra time to do that, let alone to formulate an answer. So when we keep dumping words on top of each other, we're actually making the situation not great, because with every new word that we're adding, they need extra processing time. And so if it's a barrage of, hi, Mom, do you know who I am? Why are you wearing that sweater? I don't like that sweater. Did Gina get that for you? Because, you know, you should be wearing the sweater I got you instead. Did Brian come to visit today? He did? Okay. And blah, 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 blah. So not good. And then another thing is, you know, when we're doing it because we're anxious, we're transmitting that energy and that feeling, right? And maybe we're not enchanted with the care that the community is providing. Well, that's okay, but we need to talk to the staff, not kind of let that come out for on our person. Yeah. Okay. On our person, I would say, is accurate, because it's kind of that energy that we're bringing that's just kind of dumping it out there. And then finally, and this one I see a lot too, and I'm always trying to spread the gospel on this, is, you know, and again, it's a weird quiz show thing, but did Brian come to visit you today? And, you know, Dad says no. And then you go, well, he said he was going to. In fact, he texted me a picture of the two of you together. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh,
and it
gosh.
Turns into this weird Perry Mason moment. Like, what is that? We already know that our person has impaired memory, right? So instead, and it's so easy to turn around. So instead of that little scenario, how about this? You pull up the picture that your brother sent you and say, Dad, Brian sent me the best picture of you two. Look at that. I love how happy you both look.
Right. That is much better.
Right? So now it's a happy thing. So maybe your dad's going to say, yeah, he was here today. Or maybe he's not going to remember that, but that's going to make him happy to see him with his son. Right? So either way, we have a good outcome and it doesn't get weird. And then that helps with the final thing, which is sometimes, just as human beings, we don't have a huge comfort level with being in a memory care community or an assisted living community. And we're not sure what to say, how to do, or how to have a good visit. And so our nervousness just comes out in a blurty kind of a way. And so, again, this is one of those things where behavioral rehearsal comes in super duper handy, where we can kind of just run through a few scenarios. And if we say, like, okay, we're going to visit for 30 minutes and we have, like, you know, three or four things that we want to cover, and one is, you know, and we just keep it all happy, great. And if your person seems like exhausted or not really into it after, you know, 5-10 minutes, that's okay. We can leave, right? It's all good. People get tired. That doesn't make it any less valuable, right? So just when we're able to transmit that feeling of I love you and I like you very much just as you are, then boom, magic happens.
So we can definitely be making things worse accidentally by the way we interact and engage. And I think in a lot of those instances, we're trying to find that hope that they're going to get better today, or, you know, we can fix this. We can make them remember, and we got to let that go and get beyond that so that we can use that superpower, right? And get it, go into their reality and be there with them.
For sure. And I think, you know, absolutely. It's just so subconscious. And a lot of times it just comes from, I don't care how old you are. You know, I'm 48. I have a mom. And there are those moments where I'm 4 years old again, you know, because it's my mom. And it's just, this is emotionally hard. And when we can recognize and acknowledge that, that that's what's happening for us, it's okay to feel bad about it. It's okay to cry. It's okay to, you know, kick a tire. That's okay. We just don't want to bring that energy.
And as we wrap up now, I just want to mention an episode that we did that's come to mind, and that was Addition Before Subtraction. I think that is a great episode where we talked about some of these interactions and how when we try to take away things from people and hurt them, that steps on their independence or takes away their independence a little bit, we can create these confrontations. And I'll put a link to that episode in the show notes as well, because that was one of my favorite episodes, and I think it's very pertinent to this topic.
I agree.
Okay, well, Christy, as just want to remind our listeners that, you know, leave comments on the show notes or reach out to us, subscribe to Christy's newsletter and download her communication guide, and find that to be extremely beneficial, and we'll do our best to answer your questions. And Christy, would you like to plug your Facebook Live that you're doing again?
Sure. So those are on Tuesdays. It's either 9 a.m. or 1 p.m. Those are both Pacific time. So just look for the post. That's facebook.com/dementiasherpa. And you can find the time. You can post your questions in advance. And of course, you're definitely welcome to show up live and ask questions then too.
And if you listen to this recording beyond August of 2018, those episodes will probably still be in the Facebook archive. So, and if, depending on when you listen to it, Christy may be doing them or maybe have changed the time or maybe speaking in your hometown. So, all right. Well, Christy, thanks a lot. And it's great talking to you again.
Always great talking to you.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
This concludes our conversation with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, right here on the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. Be sure to check out the show notes for any mentioned resources or links at togetherinthis.com www.thecareplanner.com/episode58. Bye now. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.